You're listening to American Medicine Today, presented by the Banati Spine Institute, featuring internationally acclaimed inventor of the Banati Spine procedures, Alfred Banati, MD. Once again, your host, Kimberly Bermel Banati, and co-host Ethan Uecker.
Welcome to American Medicine Today. I'm Kimberly Banati alongside Ethan Uecker and world-renowned orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Alfred Banati. In a newly released memoir, a woman explains how she found herself one of the 39 million Americans taking care of an ailing loved one after her husband's body started to shut down and needed an immediate heart transplant. Joining us to discuss is Sarah Cart, author of On My Way Back to You. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Kimberly. I'm glad to be here.
As are we. Now, can you tell us about your husband, Ben? He was kind of past his mid-50s, is that correct? And relatively healthy and energetic?
Exactly. He was a perennial camp counselor, Tigger, Ever Ready Bunny. And we were at a wedding, and when everyone was applauding and clapping, all of a sudden I noticed out of the corner of my eye that the way he usually whistles, instead of just doing it with one hand, he was doing it with two. And it led to a conversation later that led to a doctor's appointment and some blood work and a diagnosis of an autoimmune issue.
Just a whistle.
Explain how that triggered your thought process, just him whistling differently. How did you know? I guess when you know your spouse and something
we've
was
been
off.
Together since we were teenagers. So, and he's always annoyed me that he could just do this with one hand. So the part where it was suddenly with two was weird. And so I asked about it. It turned out it was because his fingers were too swollen to bring them close enough together. And so that was the first symptom that we took to the doctors. And then as I started to ask, Ben started to share that, oh, well, there were these other symptoms, like his fingers would turn white or blue if we went from one temperature to another because of air conditioning or the weather. And it turned out to be an autoimmune issue called systemic sclerosis.
Do you know how long he was exhibiting these symptoms and just kind of kept it to himself as a man typically does? You don't want to tell your wife that.
There you go.
Wrong.
You nailed it. He claimed it was a couple of weeks. I think it was probably a couple of months. So.
And then to make matters worse, all of this sort of happened right as COVID was hitting and there were lockdowns, right? Can you walk us through that time?
Well, actually, this was a few years before COVID.
Okay.
The diagnosis then led to, we were told it's incurable. You'll have to treat it symptom by symptom. And so we got diagnosis by, it traveled from organ to organ and then diagnosis to diagnosis. Ended up with congestive heart failure, a life-saving pacemaker. And 10 months into the pacemaker, they said, you know, this isn't able to keep up with his body. You need to get on a heart transplant list. And we were working on that when COVID hit. And 10 days after the pandemic was declared, Ben's kidneys failed and he ended up in the ICU.
Wow.
So
take us from that point. I mean, what we didn't see in the write-up, did your husband live or did he succumb to heart failure?
He lived. It was
good.
Absolutely miraculous. We have a happy ending. It was not all smooth sailing. He went into the hospital with kidney failure, and a week later they put him on the list, but then he was not stable, so he went off and on and off. We actually spent Easter weekend 4 years ago he was off the list at that point, so it was really hard getting through everyone calling to say Happy Easter. And while he was in the hospital, I wasn't allowed to visit, so that was a challenge as well.
Yeah.
10 days after the transplant, which was absolutely miraculous that he got one. And we are so grateful to that family who allowed their tragedy to become our miracle. They called and said, oh, by the way, has anyone mentioned this broken left hip, which actually had happened on our watch when he was home, but he was in such pain and with so much going on, the part where he fell asleep, walking back to the bed at 2 a.m. and fell over like a tree. It just hadn't occurred to us that he'd broken something. So, yeah.
Both have certainly been through far more than anyone could have ever imagined. Can you kind of discuss from the caretaker perspective what that was like for you?
There was a learning curve, and we were very lucky that we had a lot of people supporting us in the medical profession and friends and all the rest. It was a challenge to do the work, to stay ahead of it. We were never ahead of it. My go-to in highly stressful moments is journaling. So I was doing a lot of that. I was also, he will tell you, I was his medical secretary, his chauffeur, his chief cook and bottle washer. It was a bit chaotic.
And how did Ben react to all of a sudden becoming a patient who needs a caregiver who happens to be his spouse? I mean, again, back to the whole I'm manly man sort of thing. It's demasculizing, I guess. How did he respond to needing a caregiver?
He was, his first response was to being sick, which as a scientist, he found fascinating. You can put him on these pills and that changes this symptom and it has that side effect. So you put him on that medicine and it does whatever. Mm-hmm. All of that fascinated him. It wasn't until the congestive heart failure that he took the gut punch and said, okay, I really am sick. And that was because that was what had been on his own grandfather's death certificate. Mm-hmm. As for being cared for, he, at that point, was really focused on caring for me in return. And we were blessed with the gift of time. And he wanted to educate me about what I would need to know to do with everything from plumbing to what his final wishes would be. Some of it was very heavy, but we were also, in a lot of ways, it brought us closer. It was really meaningful.
And you had children as well, is that correct?
We have four sons. We are down in Florida. Our four sons are scattered across the country. So all of our communications with them were via long distance. Thank heavens for Zoom, which my first Zoom call was the night Ben went into the hospital. I'd never done it before. It's just amazing to think now how much a part of it, our regular lives, it is.
Exactly. So. And if you can, fairly quickly, we've covered organ donation and transplant and all of that many, many times on American Medicine Today. And one of the most tragic things about it, especially as the person who needs one, is that the wait time is often years, And so how long was it? I know you touched upon it at the top of the interview. How long, once they realized that Ben needed a transplant before he got a heart?
Probably 8 months. But the only reason Ben is alive is because of the COVID pandemic and that he was in the hospital. At that point, we forget that the tests were taking 4 or 5 days to get results. Mm-hmm. So the only people who were being taken into the OR were people who had some emergency, an appendectomy, a car accident, whatever, or a patient who was so ill they were dying and already in the hospital. And that's who Ben was. And so the part where he got a heart, and if they'd known about the hip, he probably wouldn't have gotten a heart. The timing was just miraculous. We were so, so lucky.
And how important is self-care for the caregiver? Because I'm sure it has to weigh on you after a while. Yeah,
it's pretty important. You have to be kind to yourself, cry when you need to, ask for support, let other people support you. People will be a little awkward; they won't know what to do, and you have to accept that they're trying their best to reach out. I did some meditating. People who know me and who know how antsy I can be were really amazed that I took the time to meditate. It was partly COVID. There was really nothing else to do. And it was really, really helpful. Also breathing exercises. And once he got home from where he had 24/7 care from doctors and technicians and janitors and 3 hot meals a day, and suddenly it was just me, the self-care as a caregiver became even more critical.
I can only imagine, but how rewarding for you through that process to know you were able to be there for your husband and it was so impactful, and for him to have picked a wife that was willing and able to go ahead and be that support system for him.
Absolutely true. We were very, very, very blessed.
Well, continued good health and healing for your family and for him specifically. Thank you for being on our program, Sarah Cart, author of On My Way Back to You.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Take great care. Well, that wraps up American Medicine Today this week. Check us out anytime on the iHeartRadio app, keyword AMT.